That's tremendous. Luke chapter 8 this morning. Book of Luke chapter 8. It's always interesting sometimes when you go to preach and you have a title and you're thinking about what you're preaching on, and the music coincides with what you're preaching. We've been singing about how God changes our lives, and we can go in because we're saved, and just the things that God's done in our life. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ has changed your life, raise your hand. Amen. Both. Amen. We're going to talk about this morning, and I'll just say this. The story we're going to talk about, if God can change this man's life, he can change anybody's life. But we're going to talk about the power of a changed life. Power of a changed life this morning. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we thank you for the good music this morning, for the just allowing us to be here today. Lord, I pray that you would allow me to speak your word. Help me to focus in on what you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you would be honored today. And Lord, just as was said before, if there's somebody here that's not saved, may they realize their need for you today and get it settled today. Lord, there may be a Christian here today who needs to surrender to some things that you've called them to do in their lives. And Lord, I sure pray that you would help us all to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about this account this morning, let's go ahead and read, and then we'll jump right into it. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. And they, Jesus and his disciples, and they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, just prior to this, Jesus had just been on a boat with his disciples. He had been on a ship. Back in verse 22, you can read about that. It says that his disciples battled in the storm, and Jesus is asleep there in the boat, and they're scared to death that they're going to die. And they wake him up, and he confronts them about their lack of faith. And then this Jesus, God, says to the storm, "Be still." And the waves and the wind and the ocean obey him. He steps off the boat, right? He steps off the boat, and here comes this man. He's completely naked. He's out of his mind. He's running toward him. And, of course, you know what? Always, we've been going over the miracles of Christ in our Sunday school class, and I think there's only one or two that's in it, because we meet. Y'all ought to be praying for us. Bus workers have to meet for Sunday school at 8:15 in the morning. You ought to pray for me, for them, that they have to listen to me at 8:15 in the morning. But so there's only a couple that maybe we've talked about this, that everybody else will be new to you. So y'all bear with me. It's always amazing to me in these situations, right? Here's a storm. We were talking about the little boy who was demon-possessed and how Jesus cast the demon out of that little boy this morning, and how everything else is in chaos. Everybody is chaos. They don't know what to do. They're out of their mind in fear. And Jesus is just as calm and cool and collected, and completely in control of every situation. That ought to, by the way, help us in times of trouble and trials in our life, when we can know that he's in control. He's got this. It didn't take anything by surprise. When this man ran up on the seashore, it didn't surprise him not one bit. And the Bible says that he runs up, he falls down before him, and he cries out with a loud voice in verse 28, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High?" And if you just left it at that, you think maybe it's the guy talking, but you find out it's not. And the first thing that we see in this story, is in this account, is a demonic confrontation. Demonic confrontation. He says, "I beseech thee, torment me not, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him and was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, legion because many devils were entered into him. Now, I don't know if it coincides exactly, but I know a legion in the Roman army was around 100 men. So I don't know how many was in this man. And they besought him, these demons, verse 31, besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep or deal with them in final judgment. And they were, and there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them, or he allowed them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the lake and were choked. Mr. Foot loves this joke. They committed suicide. Y'all get that a little bit later. So we see a demonic confrontation. Jesus is dealing with these demons. He commands them to come out. They have to listen to him. They make this proclamation, right? They call him the Most High. They know who he is, that he's God. The world says he's not, but even the demons know who he is. They proclaim him as God. They fear him. They know that judgment is coming, and they're fearing that this is it. This is going to happen. And then they beg him in the punishment to allow him, and I don't know why, but they wanted to go into the swine. I guess they figured a lesser punishment. They go into these swine, and the swine run down the hill and run off cliff, and they all drown. Now, I've thought about that a lot of times. So, you know, we've heard this account even as children growing up in Sunday school. Why, you know, many different reasons why. Why the pigs? Why, you know, first of all, they were men who shouldn't have been Jews who were raising pigs who shouldn't have. It's part of, you know, what some people say. And the Lord dealt with them. But, you know, as I read this account, you'll see as we get there, Jesus is trying to work in this country. He's trying to do a great work, but he already knows there's great doubt and lack of faith and fear amongst these people. And I think he did this to, as it were, get their attention, right? A herd of swine, you know, demons get cast into a herd of swine. They run off the hillside and drown themselves. That's something to talk about, isn't it? So he gets everything all stirred up. He has the tendency to do that, doesn't he? You want to get things stirred up? Just go to a public meeting or a public place somewhere and just, you don't have to go crazy with it. You don't have to start yelling. Just start talking about Jesus Christ. You'll get somebody stirred up. In the workplace, you talk about Jesus Christ, eventually you'll get somebody stirred up. He causes this to happen. And it says in verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and what? Told it in the city and in the country. They didn't just run into town and talk to the guys that they knew. They went all over the place, out in the countryside, downtown, everywhere they go. You cannot believe what just happened. So Jesus went from talking to a maniac with his situation by himself to now the whole countryside's heading out to see what's going on. So we see this demonic confrontation, and Jesus Christ deals with it. Now let's look down in verse 35. It says, then they went out to see what was done, all the people in the countryside, in the town. He came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he had possessed of the devils, was healed. So these guys go out and they say, not only did these pigs get cast out, they go over the cliff and these demons are cast out and the pigs drown and all of this, but the most important focus is this man who was a maniac is now in his right mind, with his clothes on, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, completely changed. So not only do we see a demonic confrontation, by the way, in that, we ought to take, you do understand that Jesus Christ is the winner. He's God, Right? The world proclaims that somehow, and you see it on Facebook all the time, if you do those, if you see those pictures, don't share them. Okay? Where you have a picture of this devil with horns and whatever and God, and they're like facing each other, and it's like Satan versus God. That, no. God's already won. He's Amen. Completely in control. The Satan has already been judged. He's just hadn't, the sentence hadn't been fully passed down yet. He's in control. Now, I want you to think, before we move on, the one who calmed the sea, the one who cast the demons out of this man, who was in complete control, can be in complete control of your life. You know, I deal with folks, we do all the time, going through hard situations and trials. I couldn't believe this. This was terrible. There's some folks that my daughter knows down in Myrtle Beach, just this past week, it was like 2 days before Christmas, they had adopted this little boy who was 2 years old. And 2 days before Christmas, they had a family get together, and he fell over on the floor and died. Had heart issues. And I just said, I couldn't imagine what that family was going through. And the things that people face. You know, no matter what, there's all... And that's the thing too, isn't it? No matter what situation we're in, there's somebody that's got a harder situation, and we're all in this together. Amen. But thank God He's in control. Listen, we might not even understand it. I don't know why that little boy had to move on. I know that he's in heaven. Amen. Right? He hadn't come to an age of accountability, I don't think, at 2 years old. He's in heaven. Amen. And in all of that, even in that situation, God is merciful and loving and kind. I don't know what that little fellow would have had to go through in his life. Maybe God saved him from a lot of trials and a lot of heartache and a lot of things in his life. I don't know, but I do know that we can trust God in every situation, that He's completely in control. And what we need to do today is learn to allow Him to be in control. And you know, one thing I noticed about this whole this account of this man, he was completely demon-possessed. That tells me that he was unsaved, because a saved person cannot be demon-possessed. There's no demon going to come and tell the Holy Spirit to move out of your life. He's taken over. That's not happening. But something in him desired the Lord. Somehow he got there. I don't think those demons ran down to the seashore because they wanted to be confronted by Jesus Christ. Something down deep in him knew that he needed help. And he found out that the only one that could help him was Jesus Christ. He's our hope today. He's our answer for everything that's going on in our lives. You say, well, I'm already saved. Praise the Lord. He's got answers for every area of your life. You say, I'm not saved yet. He's got answers for every area of your life. If you'll surrender your life to Him, He will change you completely. So we see a demonic confrontation, and we see what went on, the punishment and the proclamation that even the demons made of that He is God. You know, I think we would have known that even if they hadn't said it by what He did, don't you? Number two, we see a definite change. A definite change, an undeniable change. So here's this man. The Bible says that he was running around, he didn't have any clothes, he obviously didn't have any family, at least that cared about him anymore. I want you to put yourself in his place. I want you to think about him for a little bit this morning. Here's this man, and you think about, we tend to look at that and go, oh my goodness. Right? Sometimes we look at people in their situations and we say, well, I guess, you know, they live their life, they kind of get what they deserve or what they got to, or, you know, if they hadn't done this, this, and this, they wouldn't have got there where they are, and that may be true. But in that situation, this man was broken. He's literally hated by every single person anywhere that he knows. The Bible says that they tried to bind him up and put chains and handcuffs on him. Now think about that. Do you think if they put handcuffs on him and chain him up out in the cemetery, they're going to go out and give him fresh water and food and help him? They wanted done with him. They were afraid of him. They were fearful of him. They were disgusted by him. they had no love for him. Listen, you don't bind somebody up and leave them in the cemetery that you really care about. Okay, y'all with me? Nobody cared about this man. Nobody cared about this man. But Jesus did.
Amen.
I think about my own life and my own situation. I don't deserve to be here today. I don't deserve to be saved. None of us do. None of us deserve anything. You know, there's probably some backgrounds that I don't know. But there's some backgrounds that are just about as bad as this man. I've known some families that I've been around that were drug addictions and things that would lead you to about as bad as what this guy was at. And you know what? Nobody wanted around him. Nobody cared about him. But Jesus Christ loved him and he saved him and he made him something. A changed life can be powerful. A changed life can have purpose. A changed life can make a difference in other people's lives. Do you realize today what God is doing in your life? You know, every one of us has a background. And that shouldn't matter to any of us. If we're saved and we're changed and God's forgiven us, then we just ought to serve together and love one another.
Amen.
We need Christians today who stop worrying. Listen, I'm preaching to me. I pray that God would work on my heart. I need a revival in my life. I need a stir of God in my life. A new year brings new hope. And I need that in my life. I need God to stir me up again. Where I don't sleep good because I'm worried about the people that I know that aren't saved. I don't eat well. Right? Y'all can tell I hadn't been doing that. I need to get to that. Where I'm upset about what God needs to do in a person's life and what the world's doing in somebody else's life. And we need to get past ourselves. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's times that when people aren't like us, we tend to do like these people. We say, oh, they're not dressed quite right. They don't smell so good. They've got addictions. They're drinking alcohol and they've done drugs and their life's a mess. They've got three or four kids and they're not married and they're this and they're that. And listen, God loves them.
Amen.
He gave himself for
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
And we have no right to treat anybody any differently than he would. Now, I'm not saying that we condone their sin. I'm not saying that we join in with their sin. I'm not going down to the bar and hanging out and having drinks with the guys while I try to preach to them and come to church with me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying for us to dress down and be like the world and try to draw in the world by our church and bring in the world's music and all of those things. We're not saying that at all. I'm saying that we need to have compassion on people of this world who have no hope. Because there's a lot of hopeless people in this world. This guy didn't know what he needed. He just knew he needed something. He was at the end of his rope. I don't know that anybody could get much worse than where he was. And I don't know if he heard about Jesus or I just got a funny feeling and he ran over there. He happened to be there. I don't know why he ended up at the feet of Jesus Christ, but he did. And he found out that he had the answer. There's people all around us, folks, that they don't know what they need. You say, why in the world do they act like they do? Because they're not saved. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know any better. I deal with folks all the time. I deal with kids all the time. You say, well, why do some of these bus kids act like they do? Because they don't know anything else. If the only thing you had been taught from the day you were born was a certain lifestyle, guess what? Until somebody else shows you something different, that's what you're going to live. And we shouldn't let that draw us away from reaching them.
Amen.
Now, y'all know me. I'm a little different, right? Heather says, I told her one time that I used to be shy as a kid, and she said, you can stop your lying to you. I used to be. I've gotten bolder, especially when you get called to preach and you realize that everybody kind of thinks you're a little crazy anyway as an independent Baptist preacher, so might as well run with it. And I've been in neighborhoods, and my wife's this way too. I have to fuss at her every now and then, where she used to visit every now and then. It wasn't real safe, but she, her philosophy was, well, if the Lord wanted me to go do it, he'll watch out for me. And she'd get all, y'all don't understand it. She can be feisty, as little as she is. You say, why do you go down in the areas that are a little bit rough that you might not make it out of? Because God's love can reach them. Because they need hope. They need direction. And if you don't do that, if you don't reach out to the guy at work who's struggling, here's what we do. We tend to judge them to the point where we say, well, we get to a point where it's almost like, well, they just deserve that. I'm going to set back and see what happens to them. And I'm not saying that you be naive and let them run all over you, but you ought to have some compassion for them and some heartbrokenness for them. I've preached in the jail before, and I told them, I said, guys, the only difference between you and me at times in my life is you got caught and I didn't. And therefore, by the grace of God, go we. Listen, we're nothing without what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And we ought to be moved that he work in other people's lives. But it takes us. He uses us. We're going to see. He used this man to reach an entire countryside for Christ. So there's an undeniable difference. Now he's went from a maniac who's been chained, who's been scaring the little children, who's running around, to fully clothed, in his right mind, listening to Jesus. Complete change. His desires have changed. Jesus goes to leave and he says, let me go with you. So there's a complete change. You know, God's changed us, hasn't he? If we're saved, he's changed. By the way, and I don't say this to be mean or to make you doubt or make you, but if there hasn't been a real change in your life, and listen, I deal with kids all the time, and I understand there's not a whole lot necessarily that you can get into as a five-year-old. There's a lot of things you can get into, but sometimes we see people that are 40, 50 years old and they get saved and they've lived a hard life and you see an absolute difference. Sometimes with kids you don't see it openly as much, but there'll still be a change. They'll start acting right in Sunday school. They'll start bringing their Bible to church with them. They'll want to be at church instead of mom and dad have to make them go to church. There'll be a change. But if there hadn't been a change in your life, you say you've been saved, but you don't really care if you come to church or not. You don't care to read your Bible. We don't care you may want to check your heart. You may want to make sure that God has truly saved you, because if you're truly saved, there will be a change. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things have passed away, right? All things have become new. New attitude, new heart, new spirit, new nature, all of those things. This guy is completely changed now. And so we see an undeniable difference, but we also see an unbelievable request. Now, he asked Jesus Christ, could he go with him? He says in verse 38, says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, and he told him to go and tell him. We'll get into that. But this isn't the unbelievable request I'm talking about right now. Look back in verse 37. Then when the whole multitude of the countryside of the Gadareans got round about besought him to what? Depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. You know, that does tell us that Jesus Christ loves us and he cares about us, but he won't force himself on you. But this whole town comes and sees the change that God has made in this man's life. And you would think they'd be excited and say, wow, I can't believe this. But the Bible says that they were fearful. And they said, Jesus, could you just leave? Could you just get out of here? We don't want you here. You know, sometimes that's how the world reacts when we bring up Jesus Christ and we mention. And they see the change that God's made in our lives, and they see the difference. And instead of responding to that, sometimes they say, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want any part of that. Get that Jesus away from me. Now, don't let that discourage you, because you never know when God might work in a person's heart and turn it around. It might be there just under conviction. But they tell Jesus Christ, just leave. Now, in this, we've seen a demonic confrontation. We've seen an undeniable difference, a definite change. And then in this man, we're going to see a desired life. What does God want us to do? He wants us to honor Him, and He wants us to reach others for Him. Right? That's pretty basic, isn't it? I want you to see what this man did. He says, verse 38, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him," or begged Jesus, "that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." He went and told every single person in the town, one by one, what Jesus Christ had did for him, just in case they didn't understand. Now, he has what every one of us has, and that's called a testimony. Your testimony is, what has God done in your life? How did He change your life? When He saved you, what did He do? How did He change your life? How has He made a difference since you were saved? That's your testimony, the easiest way to reach other people. But it's not always easy, is it? Now, some folks are very bold about it. They just go right up. Don't bother them to tell whoever. Let me ask you a question as you think about this man. Do you think he was very bold at first? Think about his situation, right? Now, how many of y'all have a window by the door, a little peephole in the door, or the front door of your home, right? And somebody knocks on the door. What do you do? Do you jerk it right open as soon as they knock? What do? You look to see who's knocking, right? So he goes up. He's going door to door. Isn't that what Jesus told him to do? He said, go tell them. And he knocks on the door. Maybe they hadn't totally heard about what went on. And the little kid looks out on the front porch, and there's the maniac guy. Mama, the maniac is on our front porch. Now, he's got clothes on, thankfully, but he's on our front porch. Do you think that they opened the door right away? Of course, they might have just pulled a curtain over. I don't know back then, but do you think they responded well to him right away? Do you think that he was totally comfortable to go to them? The ones who he knew hated him? The ones who he knew he was humiliated in front of them? But he did it anyway, didn't he? He obeyed God. God changed his life. And he, as it were, said, this is the least I can do. I want you to get this. He humiliated himself to do what Jesus Christ told him to do. He had to knock on the door. They didn't answer. Right, you do. That's what's called the bus ministry knock. You start out that way. They won't answer. It's in you. They won't answer. It's in you. Right. Then once you get the dog stirred up, then you're okay. At least they know you were there, right? I wonder if he even had to give his testimony a little bit on the front porch with the door shut. Hey, I just wanted to stop by and tell you what Jesus Christ did to me. I was down by the seashore, and He came up to me, and He cast the demons out. You won't believe what, I'll tell you about that later, but I want you to tell you what He did to me. He changed my life. He put clothes on me, and I sat down, and I never heard anybody talk like Him. All of a sudden, my life made sense. And He gave me hope. And you could see him kind of slowly opening the door. Wait, what? Why? Because they needed hope too. And they didn't have any answers any better than he did. And Jesus Christ knew they needed the answers. And they wouldn't let him go in. They asked him to leave town. So he did the next best thing. He set the one that he changed. Now, Jesus isn't here today. He's here. But physically, Jesus Christ isn't here, is he? He's not going door to door. He might knock on the door of your heart in conviction through the Holy Spirit, but he's not physically going door to door. Hey, let me tell you about myself. So what does he do? That's the best thing. Sends you and me to go and tell everybody that we know what Jesus Christ has done in our lives so that God can change their life. Now, he does this. That took complete obedience to what God said for him to do. You want to have a changed life? You want to have power in your life? Then be obedient to what God tells you to do. God says, talk to that guy at the workplace, talk to him. Hand a track out at the gas station, hand a track out. Amen. Be involved in a ministry, be involved in it. God worked on your heart about the bus ministry, get on a bus, just do it. God works on you about visitation or RU, whatever it is, just go on and do it. I promise that if God's working on your heart and he's told you to do it, you're going to be way better off if you will. You say, I'm tired of my life being just the same routine year after year after year. You want a difference. You want to see God do some great things, don't you? Are y'all with me this morning? I say, you want to see God do great things? Do you want to see God do some great things in your life? You know, we still serve the same God, right? Can God do great things through us? Sure. But you have to be obedient to what God tells you. This man was. Now, we're not done with we're going to see what God has done in his life. He changed his life, but he used his life. Now, God desires our lives to bring honor to God and to bring hope to the world. That's our main jobs as Christians. As he told what Jesus Christ did, that only Jesus Christ, the thing that only Jesus Christ could do, it brought honor to God, didn't it? It brought honor to him. It brought respect to him. It brought glory to him. It pointed people to him. And then he gave hope to the ones who heard it because they thought immediately, well, if he could help him, he could help me. That's what God has for our lives. There's people all around us that we run into every single day who are hopeless. They have no hope. They have no future. In their minds, there's no future. There's no real joy in their life. There's no peace. There's no contentment. And some of you, before you were saved, you lived that way day to day to day. And all of a sudden, God saved you and it totally changed your outlook on life. There's people out there that we need to, through our actions and our words, our testimony of obedience to God, that we need to reach. Now this man goes and he tells everybody throughout the whole city how great things Jesus Christ had done unto him. In verse 40 it says, and it came to pass when Jesus was returned, so he waits a while, he lets this man go all around town. He waits a while and he comes back. And the Bible says, the people, what? Gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They said, Jesus, I want what he has. Now what made the difference? That man. Now, it'd be great if it just stopped right there, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Tremendous what God did in his life. The entire countryside shows up for God to work in their lives. But as you read on, there's a woman with an issue of blood who shows up. And God heals her. Jesus Christ heals her when nobody else could. See, she realized that through what God had done in his life, my situation is about as bad, and he can help me. There's a man named Jairus whose little girl is going to die. And Jesus goes to his house, and he raises her from the dead while people outside are laughing about it. Imagine that he closed their mouths when he walked back out and said, here, get her some dinner, and wait, what? If this man hadn't been obedient to what Jesus Christ said for him to do, Would these people have had help? Would Jairus' daughter have been raised from the dead? I just tell you, I just kind of doubt it. Not that Jesus couldn't do it, but we got people have to be willing to allow God to work in their lives. And they were willing because this man reached them and told them what he had done in his life. Now, because he was obedient, he brought a change of mind to entire town. Now, I don't know about you, but our world, the things I see in our community, in our world, is a wreck. It needs some change, doesn't it? It needs a difference. There needs to be something different going on in our world today. Now, we can make some choices, can't we? We can say, well, it's just going to get worse and worse. Or we can do something about it. We can begin to live for God today. You know, I said in the very beginning, I need a renewed zeal in my life. I need God to work in my life. I want to see God do some things in my life this year that I've not seen Him do. And I've seen God do some great things in my life and in the ministry that I every time that I just do what God says for Him to do, I get to see things that He does. Years ago, I get involved in children's church, and over the years, I've seen hundreds of kids get saved. And I would not that I led them all to the Lord, but I was a part of that and I saw it, and I would never have experienced that if I hadn't just said, okay, Lord, fine, I'll. And I'm not even going to say that I was very willing at the time to get involved. I got talked into it. Blame Mike McKinney for that. He's back there. I can blame him while he's not in here. But God needs us to be obedient. He needs us to honor Him in our lives. Now, we have to lead a godly Christian life. We have to be right with the Lord. We have to have our hearts right with Him and deal with sin in our lives. But then we need to be surrendered to what He has for our lives. This man reached an entire countryside for the Lord. And he's a very unlikely servant. I imagine that if you had asked a few months earlier, who's going to be the one to reach this town for Jesus Christ, I pretty well guarantee that he wasn't on anybody's list. But God used him. Now, I thought about this. There may be somebody here today that God's called you to do something. Whether it's full-time ministry, you're called to preach, you're called to be a missionary. God's called you to get involved in a ministry, whether it's the bus, which we need a lot of help in the bus, or children's church, or Sunday school, or get involved in visitation. Maybe God's just simply called you to talk to somebody at work or your family member, and you're putting it off. What if this guy had put it off? Wouldn't it have been easier for him to not do what Jesus said? I said, he humiliated himself. He had to go before the people that hey, listen, he knocked on the door of the guy who put the handcuffs on him and left him in the tombs. But he did. And it may be that God is calling you to do something, and it might be easier just to stay where you are. And we say, well, Lord, I'm doing this, this, and this, and I'm good. And the Lord's constantly, I need you to do this. I really want you to do this. There might be some young people that you've been fighting it. God's dealing with your heart about a call to be in ministry, call to go. Listen, it's not easy. It's not easy. Listen, I did it with three kids and a wife. If I could do it, go to Bible college, if God could use me, He could use anybody. But we're not talking about whether it's easy or not. We're talking about what has God called you to do. And if God has called you to do something, then we just need to do it.
Amen.
It may be that God has brought you here today. Maybe you're even here for the very first time. And maybe you're even here today because you don't have any other hope and you didn't know anything else to do. Let me just tell you, God loves you. He cares about you. You're not here by accident. You're here to hear that Jesus Christ came to this earth and He died. He paid the penalty for you that you couldn't pay. He paid a price for you in His own blood and He loves you. You're that precious to Him. And He's willing to save whosoever will come. It may be today that you didn't even know what your problems were till you came and you heard that Jesus has the answer. That He's the answer to the problem. I don't know what to do. Let Jesus have it. It may be that you're not saved today, but maybe you didn't even know you weren't saved till today. But let me tell you, God loves you and He has an answer for you. And He's willing to save you and He can give you hope and direction and peace in your life. It may be that there's somebody here today that you're going through a trial that you've never fathomed that you would go through. Just let God have that trial. Just surrender that to the Lord. Let Him work in your life. There's all different reasons that we go through things. God never said we weren't, right? He just promised He'd help us through them. That's the hope that we have as Christians, that He's going to help us through anything that comes along that the world doesn't have. And just be surrendered. Listen, I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is you need to be surrendered to whatever God has for your life. I promise you won't regret it. Amen. I can guarantee, there's few things I can guarantee, but I can guarantee that if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, He will change you. He will make a difference like you've never believed, and you'll never be the same. Whatever your need is today, whatever it is, whether you need to be saved, whether you need just surrender to God and allow Him to do what He has for your life, stop fighting, stop running, and just say, okay, Lord, You got me. Whatever trial you're going through, listen, Jesus Christ is the answer to every single problem there is. Amen. He is. This demoniac man, this maniac, went and told every single person what God had done in his life, and each one by one, began to realize. Because I guarantee you, there are all different situations, all different trials, all different things. Jairus is sitting there in his house with a sick little girl, and he's thinking, well, maybe He can help her. This woman with the issue of blood says, well, I don't know where else to go. I've spent all my money. I've got nothing. Maybe He can help me. Listen, whatever it is, He has the answer. And you just need to surrender that today. Let's bow our heads.